B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate
it. Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rob Manfred determined to continue this season despite 24 games missed already. What are you hearing from people around the league about how they viewed his statement from yesterday?
Hannah, the players were furious because as part of his statement to our Carl Ravitch, he mentioned the players have to do better, and that really angered the players. They felt like he was finger-pointing. John Lester of the Cubs, for example, responded, I'm paraphrasing here, saying, hey, we're the ones who are taking the risk. But this is at the end of a week of finger-pointing from both sides. We had tweets from David Price, from Anthony Rizzo, calling into question parts of the health and safety protocol and whether safety was a priority. I can tell you behind the scenes, Major League Baseball Player Association, conversations all the time, they're working together. But this undercurrent of distrust and suspicion has been there all throughout this process, so different than the NBA and the NHL.
All right, that's Buster Olney on the latest on Major League Baseball, and that's where we're going to begin today on a Reentry Monday brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger here in the remote A-hole chair. We got Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. So again, there's a lot to get to from the weekend. It's great. Sports are back. It's busy. So we've got, we can hit on all four sports, all four local teams, and it's all going to be there. And I guess, you know, one of the themes today is going to be what's most concerning to you, the way the Bruins look, the way the Celtics look. I don't even need to really ask that about the Red Sox, do I? But maybe the opt-out with the Patriots, the opt-out situation with the Patriots. There's a big ball of concern there. But to me, if I'm answering that question, Maz, to me, the lead story and the number one biggest concern and the number one biggest train wreck to me is Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball season and what I think is, so far, an abject failure. I think as bad as we thought it could have been and as dubious as we were about their ability to get that thing off and running and as much as we bashed it, I think they have managed to exceed our low expectations for how bad it was going to be. I think the Major League Baseball season right now, Maz, is a freaking joke.
Crap show. Of course it's a joke. It's a complete disaster. And then let me just say point blank, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. Because I don't trust or have any faith in these guys' ability to pull it off. I don't. I didn't from the very beginning, frankly. I think I said to you, they'll start, but I don't have a lot of faith in their in the discipline of the players to execute it. And I think we're learning that now. And so I'll tell you what, here's sort of the conclusion I came to over the weekend, and I'll just wrap it up into a nice, tidy little bow for you, okay? And that is this. From the very beginning, in retrospect, no matter which side you fell on, the side of the owners or the players, I think we can say now neither side's heart was in it. Neither side. Neither side really wanted to play. All they wanted to do was really argue with each other.
Yep.
They get off on arguing with each other. They do. That's the one thing that's the only thing they're passionate about is beating the other side. Other than that, I don't think either side wanted to play. Not really. Not like the other leagues. Not given what, you know, some of the other leagues have done, the sacrifices they made. All of it. I don't think their heart's in it, and I think they're going to fail because of that.
I mean, I think the other leagues have generally given us a good product and given us a real product, real games. I mean, these NBA games that I've watched, those are real games.
Yeah,
they've been awesome. They were a little down on Saturday, but overall, I think the NBA has looked great.
So look, I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's 100% of what it would normally be.
It's not, but it's okay.
I know I'm watching an NBA basketball game, and I think that it feels to me like the players that actually showed up there are invested. It feels to me like guys are playing hard. It feels to me like there's something on the line. I feel like the NBA's delivered. You know, it's early, but I feel like I'm getting an actual pro sporting event there, and the league is actually executing, and I think the NHL's close behind. The Bruins sort of make it hard because I don't think they've shown up yet. But some of the other games that I've watched and some of the other things I've checked in on, they came up with a plan, they're executing their plan, and they're actually delivering on baseball? I mean, okay, so we have all these cancellations, all these games being lost, entire teams being shut down okay? You have a whole raft of other teams waiting to see whether they can play or not, taking tests and sort of waiting out the tests. And then there's a whole nother raft of teams that have no one to play because they're on the schedule to play those teams. So they're just sort of working out, waiting to see if the teams are going to play, can pass their tests or get to their games. And if they can't, well, then maybe there'll be a series made up on the fly, which I think happened last week with New York and Baltimore. It's like a little pop-up series. Okay, you have all that sort of stuff. Oh, there was also this over the weekend. I don't know if people fully realize it. After spending all spring and bitching at each other back and forth and debating and arguing and, you know, in terms of the players being obstructionists over the seven-inning doubleheader. Remember that idea?
Of course.
Oh, it's back on the table. They're playing seven-inning doubleheaders now.
Yep.
There was one last weekend on Sunday. Yesterday, Reds swept the Tigers. Seven-inning doubleheader. Did you even know that? All of a sudden, baseball says, all right, fine, okay. Seven-inning doubleheaders. We're going to do it. This is after they say no change to the playoff format, no change to the playoff format. And then, like, about 7 minutes before the first pitch on the first day of the year, they say, no, actually, we are going to do that expanded playoff format. So what is it? So now there are going to be some seven-inning games. There's going to be rescheduled games. There's going to be pop-up series. There's going to be made-up series. They're going to switch venues. I think that's happening now with maybe St. Louis and Detroit, where they're going to play all four in Detroit, where they were going to go 2-2 St. Louis and Detroit. I think I have that right. But there's a million of examples like this across the league. It's a joke. It's not a real league. It's not a real season. It's not a real event. They failed.
It's a fire drill. The whole thing is a fire drill is what it is. They're running around in circles for crying out loud. I don't know when the plug's going to get pulled, but I can't imagine they're going to make it.
I mean, it's comical.
If you were betting right now, finish the season or not, what are you betting?
No.
Not even close? I mean,
no, okay, you know what I bet on? I'd bet on something like we had with the MLS's back tournament or Major League Lacrosse, if you even follow that. In other words, teams are going to bow out. They're going to have to reconnoiter, reconfigure the tournament and sort of patch it together. That would be my leader in the clubhouse. There's no way. It's already over. It's already failed. There's no way they're going to have 30 teams playing 60 games and the season ending the way it was scheduled. I am fairly confident that the NBA and the NHL are going to execute their seasons and their plans as they drew them up and as they're currently executing right now in their bubble cities. Baseball? Huh. You know, and I go back to the players. They couldn't be bothered to quarantine. Couldn't be bothered to take the steps necessary to keep this thing safe. Instead, they're too busy blaming the owners while the Marlins are, what, hitting the hotel bar or the clubs in Atlanta based on various reports or both. Or the Cardinals have players going to the casino. Mm-hmm. That's smart. What, you just can't wait a couple of months to play some blackjack? You freaking tool. Then you're going to turn around and blame the owners when you are the guys going to the casino? Or there's, like, you know, teams that, like my team, Lorenzo Cain, just up and quit this weekend, took one look at this mess and said, you know what? I'm out. And so now the Brewers don't have one of their best players, which is nothing compared to the Mets, who show up for a game yesterday in Atlanta, and where's Yoenis Cespedes? We don't know where he is. All right, let's send someone over to the hotel. They send someone over to the hotel. He's packed and gone. Didn't mention it to the team. They have no idea where the guy is. The GM comes out and says, yeah, we don't know where he is. We're worried about his safety. Hour later, they find him. Turns out he's quit. It's like, it's a clown show, Maz. It's an absolute clown show. And we've got to Manfred. One day, he tells Tony Clark, the union head, you know what, if you guys don't tighten this up, we're going to have to shut it down. We won't complete the season. And then, of course, because he's Rob Manfred, the next day he says, no, we're finishing the season. We're not quitters. So complete rudderless, leaderless, stuff from the ownership side. Players who won't agree to anything. You know, again, I keep going back to it because I can't help it. But, you know, they won't agree to throw a baseball within 30 seconds between pitches. You think they're going to agree to quarantine themselves? And, you know, Pete Blackburn, what's his name there with the Rockies? What's his first name? Charlie Blackman? Whatever that doofus's name on the Rockies. There's a worldwide pandemic that's highly contagious. We don't want you spitting. Hell no, I'm going to spit, man. And he's got COVID. It's like you can't get these players to do anything. And now, basically, I think it's already, Maz, it's a failure. No matter what happens from this day forward, it's a failure. They failed.
Oh, well, look, again, I mean, you know, I allow for the possibility that all of us, and I say possibility, If they were all of a sudden to be no more positive tests and they play it out from here, fine. What are the chances of that based on what we've seen? Okay, so that's sort of where I am. I don't have any faith that it's going to get any better. Like, you know, if you were to tell me that somehow they could straighten the thing out and everybody got on board and they would make the thing work, then fine. I'd have some level of faith. But I come back to the same thing. They don't want to play, Mike. They don't want to play. The players don't want to play. And the owners at the beginning didn't have their hearts in it because they didn't want to play more than 60 games because they were losing money the whole nine yards. They weren't invested in it. Not really. And it's showing.
So I still think, I don't lump the owners and players together. The owners aren't blameless, but my blame pie is like 90-10, 85-15, you know, because, I mean, we see it, Maz. Look at the Red Sox, and they're not the only team. These teams have spread out the locker rooms. They're all wearing masks. They've kicked everyone out of the building. They're wiping everything down. The teams, for the most part, are creating a safe environment. It's not the team, it's not the owners that are going to the casino, the club, the hotel, bar, or whatever else these players are doing. That's the players. So I don't put them together. And I'm not telling you the owners are blameless. I just don't put them together.
You're talking about only the on-field part of it. How about the negotiations? And look, the players were a pain in the ass. I'm telling you, I was on, generally speaking, on the owner's side of it. But in retrospect, Mike, did they want to play 85 games, 84 games? Did they want to do that? Do they have any interest in doing that?
I think they put the protocols in place to play 60.
Okay, but had they moved their asses, a little bit faster, and maybe just put things in place a little bit sooner, we wouldn't have this chaos. We wouldn't have on the fly deciding that we're going to play 7-inning doubleheaders and changing the rules. You wouldn't have that either.
I haven't seen the owners in the casino. When I start seeing the owners in the casino and the club and the hotel bar, then I'll put them on the list. Otherwise, this is the players. It's a freaking clown show. You know there's a COVID bus rolling across America right now, Maz? Are you aware of this?
I did not know this.
The Marlins, they got to get the Marlins home, right? The Marlins have been quarantined in Philly, I guess, right? For a week since they had this outbreak, and they've been stuck there, so they got to get them home. So they rented buses, sleeper buses, and they put all the infecteds on these buses, and they're busing them home to South Florida. They're COVID buses. We're rolling down the East Coast. They were supposed to leave today, I think. But there's COVID buses out there. Think of this. Here, want to have some fun? Look at the NL East standings. Look at the NL East standings. The Braves are in first place at 7-3. The Marlins are in second at 2-1. So you tell me, how are they going to square that, Maz? Even if everyone tests negative the rest of the way, and they have no, let's just play that game. From this point forward, they nip it in the bud. In the span of whatever this is now, 50 days, the Marlins have to make up 7 games? Oh, so are the Marlins going to be playing 7-inning games while the Braves are playing 9-inning games? And are the Braves going to be playing 60 and the Marlins are going to end up at 54, 48, whatever. But whatever they play, there's going to be 7-inning doubleheaders versus 9-inning. I've fought the asterisk thing the entire time in all these sports. But how is that in any way a legitimate situation? Is one team playing 9-inning games and the other team playing 7?
Oh, it's a joke.
Because they spent the week on the COVID bus? I mean, they failed. They already failed. It's already over. Which pisses me off because I need it. I want it. I'm ready for it. I've invested, in both the Red Sox and my team in Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee's been sitting there with their Schmenzer in their hands for the last 3-4 days because the Cardinals had guys going to the casino. And it's like, so now we're going to play. We've played like 4 fewer games than the Cubs, and the Cardinals are sitting there, and are they going to play? Do we even know? Are we waiting on tests? And it's like, did they screw this thing up? And you know what? When the NHL does it right and you can't figure it out, you know you're in trouble. You know, never mind the NBA, which we expect to have, to have that situation in line, and they do. These other leagues figured it out. And baseball did not come close. But again, this is sort of where we were last week. If you're a Red Sox fan, are you glad?
Yep.
This is a perfect year for this. Because I meant to look this up, but I thought it would be better if I didn't. Because I honestly don't know the answer to this. Who was that pitching for the Red Sox last night?
Bryce? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, the starter. I put in air quotes. The guy that started the game. That gave up, was it the first three-run bomb to Judge? Did he give up the first one?
Yeah, it was a disaster, of course. I've given up trying to identify who the pitchers are in this team. I've given it up. Again, but yeah, you're talking about Bryce.
Okay.
You know what? I think in retrospect, Hall gave up the homer because Bryce only pitched an inning, right?
I was going to say, who's that?
A guy that got bombed in the third game of the year.
Holy crap. That team. And I think the Red Sox season at 3. If the Red Sox had pulled that game out last night, Maz, I think they're still in it. 4-6. I don't know. The difference for them between 4-6 and 3-7, to me, feels like epic. It feels like, I don't know.
Thank God for Aaron Judge, then.
Well, that to me is the dividing line there. If they'd come out of that thing at 4-6, you say, well, they're still right in it. More than half the teams make it. You know, the one game out of being, you know, whatever. But at 3-7, oh, no, forget about it. But meanwhile, what's the season? What's the schedule? What is this? It is insane how badly baseball botched this thing. So that's where we're beginning on a reentry Monday. You can start wherever you want at 617-779-0985.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night, a bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
I feel like that one was it. I feel like... Go ahead, Maz, your thoughts.
Throw him another curveball, why don't you? Another curveball. Did you notice that? Curveball. Threw him one, missed, then hung one out there like it was on a freaking coat hanger, and he hit it 500 feet.
And did you see Barnes' reaction, too? That was the best. Oh, wow. Good.
Oh, seriously. Like, tell me that wasn't perfect. I keep throwing him curves. They know it's coming, you jackass. They know it's coming. That's all you guys throw is curveballs. They know it's coming. Oh, my God. I laughed my ass off when I saw that. I went, ah! They're going to blow this. I know they're going to blow this. Pow! There it is, right there. Ah, you donkey.
Talk about blowing the whole thing. And I'm talking about as a sport, as a league. They had just as much run-up, probably more, and probably a greater chance to pull it off than the other leagues because they play outside and their sport is naturally socially distanced. So, like, I think baseball had fewer obstacles than basketball and hockey. And wouldn't you know it? They failed so epically, even if they figured out from this point going forward and the number of positive tests go down, they have too many teams with a disparate amount of games. There's going to be some teams playing a bunch of 7-inning games, a bunch of teams playing a bunch of 9-inning games. Are they going to go? I heard Jeff Passan say today they're going to go maybe in the standings by winning percentage versus games behind.
Yeah, that's right. That's how they're going to do it. Yep.
Well, like, you're not 2 weeks into your season, you jackasses, and you've already got to scrap the entire thing, basically. I mean, that is just so baseball. So your thoughts on that, your thoughts on the Red Sox, Maz? You got 30 seconds on the Red Sox for me before I take a call?
Well, look, all they needed to do, really, was just don't go in there and don't get swept.
Right.
Right? The Yankees are clearly better. They're 7-1. They're they're one of the two best teams in baseball. They're clearly better. Steal one. And last night was the game. Last night was the one. You're up early. You know, last night was the one. You just had to find a way to get through it. And, you know, you got, in theory, you got to the late innings where you were going to go to your premium guys, and they puked. They puked. That's what happened. They hung a curveball to Aaron Judge, and he hit it into the freaking Bronx is what he did. Right into the subway station. It bounced twice, went down the stairs, and hopped on the D train to Manhattan. That's what it did. It was an absolute freaking missile. So Red Sox, like, they have the chance to steal what they're in. Oh, God, please. They're done. We all know they're done. Okay, so the question is now, what becomes the priority of the season? Because this one is down the toilet.
Sean in Dorchester. Go ahead, Sean. Your thoughts. Lead us off today.
All right. So we got obviously the Sox rocking a 3-7 record. Nobody's hitting off of taco bombs anymore. We got to figure it out. So here's my solution to this absolute global pandemic we're going in right now. Cut the season in half, do 30 games, build an emergency bubble in the Central, West, and East regions, and do it for entertainment purposes, and then we'll do seeding from that point on, but do
Sean,
it so that the...
What makes you think those players are going to agree to that? They wouldn't agree to it the first time when there was real money on the table. Now they're going to agree to it for even half of what they were going to get after teams are getting infected and there's outbreaks and there's COVID buses rolling across America full of Major League Baseball teams. You think now they're going to agree to go into quarantine? You still can't ask these a-holes to throw the ball within 30 seconds. You think they're going to agree to a quarantine? No shot.
No.
I'm sorry, Maz. I do not equally parse out the blame. The players that – this is what I was afraid of. I thought it'd be a half-assed product on the field, sort of ignoring that they just wouldn't do the right things off it. Screw it. We don't even want to be playing, so let's go to the club. Screw it. I don't even want to be playing. Let's go to the casino. And, you know, that's how they're gonna submarine the season. They're going to submarine the season by taking no precautions off the field.
Okay, so, Mike, listen, the on-the-field thing falls on the players. No two ways about it. I mean, when you get full teams shutting down, the players aren't being careful either. It's got nothing to do with the protocols. It's had nothing to do with the protocols. The teams have done the right thing on that one. I'm just telling you the way the whole thing... I'm going back to the negotiation, the way the whole thing was run from the beginning. Clown show. Oh. It was a complete clown show from the start. Neither side had its heart in it. And the caller says 30 games. How about 10? Can we pull the plug now? Can we pull the plug on the Red Sox now? Let's go to the playoffs. The Yankees are 7-1. They're in.
There's teams that haven't been able to play 4 games. There's teams stuck at 1-2 and 2-1. They've gotten 3 games in. What makes you think they're going to get 30, 60? You pick the number. They can barely get through 3. The Marlins have played 3 games, and frankly, they shouldn't even have played the third. Here's Jesse and Sharon, I think. Go ahead, Jesse.
The Red Sox are having their undeniable pitching problems. I mean, right now, pitching staff of Dr. Fauci and 50 Cent would probably make a better pitching staff.
Definitely.
I mean, do you think it's time that the Red Sox move on from Ron Renicki as manager? Because he's tried some crazy stuff, and it's just been messed up.
Well, I just, Maz, I don't think it's Renicki.
No, me neither. And the other thing is, really, put whoever you want in there. Is Jim Leland doing La Russa? Are they doing anything with his pitching staff? Like, let's not get stupid about it. Their pitching staff is beyond bad. It's abysmal. It's like the worst pitching staff in Red Sox history.
So, look,
it's a complete train wreck.
Do you blame Renicki for this comment? Jimmy, you can cue it up. He's asked about Ryan Weber, who's got like a 12 ERA or something, and just something preposterous.
This was good.
And it's like, what, you know, you guys might want to try something else? You know, what was that whole exchange, Jimmy?
Ron, at the start of the year, you talked about how there would maybe be some urgency to some decisions, more so than in a longer season. I know it's only 2 turns through, but Ryan's inability to get into the fifth either time, does that make you rethink his spot in the rotation at this point?
Well, not really. I mean, who do we have that we can say that we're going to put in that's going to be better than Ryan?
Yeah. You can stop right there.
Isn't that the best? It's a microcosm of this Red Sox season so far. And really, can you blame him? I actually give him credit there for how candid he is. He basically said, what the hell do you want me to do? I got nothing but stiffs here. So what stiff is going to be better than this stiff who lasted 3 1/3 tonight and got his face ripped off? They're all the same stiff.
Yeah, no, what he should have said is, Sean, you know what? Tell you what, now that you mention it, why don't you get out of the morgue? See if you can find a couple of bodies down there I can prop up on the mound like Mike from Uber and says, weekend at Bernie's. We'll see if we can get a guy out there, maybe wire up a string or something to him and see if we can get him to sling the ball to home plate. Because that'd be better than what they're putting out there now. Who do you want, Sean? You want Jeffrey Springs? You want Matt Hall? How about Dylan Covey? You like him? Austin Bryce, we can try him. They all suck. They all suck. All of them. They suck. They're worth watching once every 5 days. When Evaldi's on the mound and they're playing a half-decent opponent, you might say, eh, you know what? I'll click over, see if anything's happening there. Watch it for 2 or 3 minutes, and if nothing happens, you leave.
Like, well, last night was a fun game.
Yeah. I mean, again, they were up early, so that last night was the game. But the pitching is just so bad. It is so bad. And it's hard to get by the 3-7 thing for a fan, right? Most fans are looking at it going, especially now that the other ones have started, most fans are looking at it going, these guys are toast. These guys are toast. It's over, and they're tuning them out.
Tom in Plymouth, your thoughts.
Hey, you know, what about WizKid Chaim Bloom foisting this pitching staff on Lenicky? And he's got a, you know, assume some of the blame.
Some.
This plan reminds me of, it's like when you go into the record store, you go past all the new releases, and in the back they got that big box, and you look for dollar CDs, and you start digging in, you pull out, oh, Bananarama, no good. Oh, the Go-Go's no good, and you keep digging down deep, hoping you're going to pull out Elvis Costello. And that was kind of the plan.
Nope, all you get is Bananarama.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. The 2020 Red Sox Bananarama.
To me, it's all Chaim Bloom. But Ron Renicki he's just a substitute teacher. He just showed up, and he didn't pick these pitchers. That's the one, you know, and Chaim Bloom's the one I really look at because, I mean, wasn't this the gig in Tampa? They never had any money. They were always picking from the bargain basement. They were always picking from that bin at the back of the record store the caller's talking about. And in Tampa, it feels like more often than not, they sort of patched it together somehow. Well, how come that's not happening here? How come it's one piece of crap after the next, and I don't see one diamond in the rough?
Oh, it is. It's just, you know, the only thing I can say is Martin Perez's second one was a little bit better. Okay? It was a little bit better. But I even have trouble putting it on Bloom because, like, you know, how much of an offseason did he really have? He didn't get a ton of latitude there. They've all, you know, I sort of look at it, and I draw the line all the way back to Henry and the decision to stick with Dombrowski and to let him flush the season, flush all the money down the toilet for the long term. They let it deteriorate to the point where they've got nothing. I am this close. In fact, I'm not even this close. I'm already there. Start playing kids. Start playing them. Put Jeter Downs in some of these games. Let me see some of the young guys so that I at least can have a clue as to whether 2021 has any promise at all.
Your thoughts on the current state of Major League Baseball and the Red Sox at 617-779-0985. The latest across the world of sports. Here in the update, we come back. I'll give you a Bruins minute and how those folks are looking so far in their bubble. That's coming up right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Nass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now a 2-on-1 for the Flyers. Right circle, they score. Phil Myers with a dart. Top near corner. And the Bruins now trail 3-1.
Char got off the faceoff. Char got locked up with one of the Flyers. Myers alertly jumping up into the play. And you get all the forwards going the other way. He comes down that right side, and he's going to rip this shot far side high. There's him and Couturier coming down the ice. He's going to beat a lot cleanly to that blocker side. Eyes up. He's not even thinking pass. He's just looking right at the net the whole time. Good wrist shot.
So Chara got tied up. It's putting it politely. Putting it politely. That'll be our entree into the Bruins conversation. Maz, you concerned with the Boston Bruins and how they've looked so far?
Yep. Yep, I am. And I'll tell you, that more than any of the teams out there, this is the one that I think is, like, I know you said you think the deterioration of baseball, the collapse of baseball is the biggest story. Nationally, you're probably right. I think in Boston, it was this. I think it was the Bruins. I felt most strongly about the Bruins because in a lot of ways, I've always already written the Red Sox off. But the Bruins, I look at the Bruins and say, no, their games matter. Even the Celtics, I will say, okay, fine. So whether the Celtics finish up as the 3 seed or the 6 seed or whatever, okay, and I haven't done the math to know. I look at it and say, it's not going to matter. There's no home court, and I know who they are. And if they play Milwaukee and they play well, maybe they got a shot. I mean, again, you and I disagree on that, but I know what they are. The Bruins, the seeding can matter. The seeding can absolutely matter. You can avoid some of the best teams in the conference if you end up with the top seed. And they put out that lemon yesterday. That lemon. After the game they played on Friday night. And I also think the Bruins have the most at stake because they are the closest to the championship. So I look at the Bruins and I'm, you know, I had my finger up and ready to press that panic button. I'm not there yet, but that was bad.
I was small C concerned after an exhibition, just an exhibition against Columbus on Thursday. But that looked like the same thing, and that there was lack of effort. I mean, it's unacceptable. And even the guys you expect to look good, even like Bergeron hasn't even looked that good. It looks like they're not doing the basic stuff correctly. Even that skating, missing passes. They don't even want to be there. And I don't know, like, I hope they know what they're doing, because there was supposedly some talk, right? Like, going back, Cassidy said, well, we're not really going to take these that seriously. They're almost going to treat them as exhibition games and warm up, and then we'll worry about it when we're actually in the actual playoffs. But it doesn't feel like to me that they've even practiced at all during training camp when they were here in Brighton. I know you're missing a few guys and key guys like Pastrnak, but it doesn't look like they've done anything. That bored me to death yesterday. That was the other thing. And just like the exhibition game, it's like, what am I even watching? They don't even look like the same team.
Okay, so here's the question, right? A lot of people asked, do you think that the layoff is going to benefit young teams or old teams? And if the Bruins are really trying, I think we have our answer. And that's why I chose that goal to play, and how Chara looked on that goal, and how Chara looked in this game, and how Chara looks to me coming back. Chara, you know, on his best day is slow. On his best day is, you know, the speed is not his thing. He looks glacial to me. And he looks like, it looks to me like the layoff did not benefit him. You mentioned Bergeron. You know, really quiet. Did David Krejci even play? I barely noticed the guy. And I look at it, I say, ooh, so are we getting our answer on whether this helps or hurts older teams and older players? Or is it the other thing that Murray just sort of mentioned? The team did sort of indicate that they were going to treat these games more like preseason games than playoff games. And so, is this intentional, or is this what they look like with all those old bodies coming out of a long layoff? I don't know the answer. Either way, if it is intentional, I think you're playing with fire. Mm-hmm. I think you're playing with fire like this. I mean, who the hell are you? You are not. I am sorry. You are not the late 70s Montreal Canadiens. And just turn it on and suddenly you're the best team in the league again. I don't think, you know, the gap between you and everybody else, if there even is one, is all that great where you can just flip a switch. I mean, is this team flip a switch worthy? I don't see Wayne Gretzky out there or Mike Bossy out there, for crying out loud. So I don't. I mean, if they are, you know, just treating these as tune-ups and intentionally coming out 3/4 speed, boy, I think that is playing with fire, Maz.
Oh, no question. And if that is the plan, to treat them as tune-ups, I give them an A+. They're succeeding. Really, I give them a good grade. And Mike, I thought the whole team looked slow. There were a couple of guys in particular that I would say, you know what? He doesn't look that bad. He actually looks like he's moved. Stanika, I thought, tried. And, you know, he's, for a guy who's trying to jump in this, I thought Stanika was fine. I thought Grizzlick looked like he was moving fast. Okay, so again, I'm not telling you that anybody like made my eyes pop and go, wow, he looks awesome. But I would say a couple of guys looked like they were playing faster. The rest of them, holy crap. Philadelphia beat him to every puck. Every single one.
And if you compare this, Mike, have you watched some of the other games?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating. Like, I watched the full Pittsburgh-Montreal game Saturday night, felt like a playoff game. Watched some of the Chicago-Edmonton game Saturday afternoon. Watched some of Vancouver and Minnesota last night. Like, they feel like playoff games. The Bruins, and I know I'm also including the exhibition game, just an exhibition, look slow and like they don't even belong.
Okay, by design, or are they old and they don't belong? Okay, oh, don't belong is, you know, obviously a little strong, but is this by design, or is this the layoff catching up to them that it doesn't benefit old bones? And I think it's been a fascinating restart. I mean, the thing you just mentioned there, Murray, I mean, in some ways, the NHL's worst nightmare is Montreal and or Chicago, right? Teams that were way out of it.
Oh, yeah.
that we're playing. You know, both these teams have a chance for the number one pick. Both these teams were going to be in the deep lottery, you know, if things were just, if the season just played out. Montreal had like a 0.1% chance of making the play. Now they're one up on Pittsburgh. Now Chicago's one up on Edmonton. And it's like, that's interesting in one way, but in another way, it's like, I don't think the league wants those teams in it. You know, I wouldn't want them in it. And maybe that's my only silver lining for the Bruins sucking like this, because maybe they won't get the first seed, which means we get to avoid Montreal too. Because I just couldn't, in these times, Murray, I couldn't handle a playoff loss to Montreal year and Mike, with the way things have gone.
Those cockroaches winning that game on Saturday, that's just, they just need two more, and they're coming. You know that they are going to beat Pittsburgh.
So them.
So and 2020.
Would it be so 2020 if you draw Montreal and they kick your ass after they be just being way out of it before this thing even started?
I thought of you both over the weekend. I thought of you both.
Here come the Habs. This is just their kind of thing. Back into another cup and get the first overall pick. You just watch. That's coming for these cockroaches, like you said. I like that, Murray. Oh, and we even gotten to Mr. Poopy Pants. Let me ask you this. One of the benefits of the quarantines, Maz, and somehow you didn't fall into this, but the fact that we're all quarantining ourselves and washing our hands and wearing masks and keeping away from everybody and not having mass gatherings means not only are we being clean from COVID, but you shouldn't be getting sick, period.
Correct.
Right? You shouldn't be getting anything.
Correct.
So that's sort of like a side benefit. I even had, you know, other than a hangover here or there, I felt great. Like, it's like I haven't gotten anything in 3 months because I'm hermetically sealed. So how does Mr. Poopy Pants get sick in any way, shape, or form? How does Tuukka once again have the runs, you know, in the playoffs? How has this happened all of a sudden? So Tuukka Rask isn't ready to go. Is that a good or a bad thing? How do you feel about that? We can pick that up as well with your Red Sox thoughts. Back to your calls in a long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Along the near side, it's fed back for Marchand. This does not connect, and it goes all the way back into the Bruins zone with three as the horn is going to sound in Toronto. So the Philadelphia Flyers, aided by three goals in the second period, tacked on one extra in the third as they knock off the Bruins in round robin game number one by a final of 4-1. Up next for the Bruins, a Wednesday tilt against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And it looks like the Bruins aren't even trying. In some respects, you better hope they're not trying. Honestly, I mean, I know you say that's unacceptable. But I think that'd be a better alternative than the fact they actually are trying and they look so far behind the play and so far behind where everybody else is. You better hope they aren't trying and that this is just by design, slow ramp up.
Well, so, that game Wednesday is going to show us, though, right? I mean, I think it's going to be very telling as, you know, you have some bad blood between those two teams. Lightning are the top competition you can find in the East. And if they can't get up for that one or show you something better than you've seen in these last couple of games, and yes, I'm again, including the exhibition game against Columbus, this team's in trouble. And you can get them out of my face. If they're going to play like this, like, considering what the expectations are, and that's just nationally, too. Look at the Vegas favorite to win the cup, right? If they're going to play like this, then the hell out of here. I don't even want to look at them.
I just, to me, that was what I was looking forward to the most, was the hockey. Because, again, the
same.
As soon as we saw that those exhibition games on last week, and I think it was the, might have been the Flyers Penguins, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I was looking at that going, oh, man, there it is. Like, that's fun to watch. And given what the Bruins have at stake, I thought, okay, here we go. And they're in the bubble, so I thought, well, they should be able to pull this off. Like, it was what I was looking forward to the most. And they came out and did that. Oh, boy, that was painful.
So, I mean, you mentioned the Celtics before. The Celtics look 10 times better. The Celtics look like they're in the mix. You know, we can nitpick them. and we will. We'll get to the Celtics here coming up in a second. But they're showing up, and I feel like both the NBA and the NHL returns, those are real tournaments.
Yeah,
those are real tournaments, and you're going to feel like you got a real champion out of that thing. Baseball's already screwed the pooch.
Seriously,
baseball, forget about it. You know, they may finish it off, but it ain't going to feel right. I think the other ones are going to feel at least close, and the Celtics are at least showing up for their thing. Are the Bruins? Thoughts on that and the Major League Baseball restart that I put in air quotes? Ed and Quincy, bring us back on the Bees. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. We're good.
Yaroslav Halak, he was absolutely horrible yesterday. Okay, he can't stop. The three of the four goals were elevated up underneath the top of the crossbar of the net, and yeah. he couldn't stop anything. Okay. What's the matter with him?
So the first two, you know, and the third one, Ed Bouchette did a good job, you know, showing us how he was off his angle.
He was, yeah, he was. He overcommitted on that, absolutely.
But they were still plucking the corner. Yeah. I mean. And I would tell you, Halak was great. He was off his angle on the third one for sure. And did he go down too early? Yeah. I mean, but that wasn't about Halak. How many scoring chances did the Bruins have before they pulled the goalie at the end? Did they have like two or three legit? I'm not even talking about shots on goal. I'm talking about just like dangerous chances. They generated absolutely nothing. And all the goals coming back was, you know, Rask falling on the banana peel, Carlo pinching. That first goal, they sort of flew the zone or they lost their contain down low because they thought the puck was going to be cleared. So it's like, and I mean, I don't start or end with Halak. And if he's the guy and if Halak's the guy every game, I actually think you're okay there. Like, I don't think that's the death knell. But I am curious what Rask's status is. Did he practice today?
He did. Yeah, he was on the ice today.
Okay. So maybe whatever he had cleared, I don't know. But is he ready? His team's not.
Well, we'll get the sound, I'm sure. But so he is talking right now real quick. So he said, yep. Explained why he had to be quarantined for 2 days. I had a cough, so I just clicked yes on the app, and then all kinds of red lights started blinking, so I was quarantined for 2 days. They wanted to do two negative tests after that.
Okay. All kinds of red lights started.
They started going off. Yeah. No, those have been going off for a while,
yeah.
Tukes. So, all right, don't hit that button.
Soft, soft, soft. Wee, wee, wee. Soft, soft.
Eric and Winthrop on Major League Baseball. Go ahead, Eric.
All right, hey, listen, I love you guys. Inheriting a Dombrowski team is a death sentence. And as far as the Marlins and Cardinals go, they just made an example of Joe Kelly. They need to do the same things with these two dummy teams and send them home for the season and make it financial, make it hurt, because that's all they understand.
I think that's not bad. You know, if Manfred, I used to be okay with Manfred, that I thought he was just powerless against that union. What do you expect him to do? And I feel like he's a compromiser, which I think you have to be. So I've generally been pro Manfred. By the day, baseball is screaming out for a really strong commissioner that takes on the players' union. Has to. They have to get their sport back. And Manfred just won't do it, which is all a long way of saying that's a nice idea. If the teams won't follow the protocols, right, and the owners sent out this 113-page manual, the owners and the league have done everything that they can. If the teams don't follow it, you're out. You're out. You lose your revenue. You're out. We're going to go on with 29, 28, 27 teams, whatever it is. I wouldn't mind that idea.
No, me neither. In fact, football's threatened it, right? Well, I mean, a version of it with the salaries of the players. They would forfeit some of their earnings. And so, to me, this is what it's got to be. If you want to play, commit. Commit. I mean, how do you get all these teams, you know, these games getting postponed and teams getting these outbreaks? Because they don't care. They don't. They're not taking it seriously enough. They're half-assing it, and they sort of look at it and say, well, if we get the COVID, we don't have to play. We get paid anyway, right? Like, there's got to be a consequence, no question.
And you understand, I mean, not to belabor this, but I just think that's on the players. I mean, the owners suck. Manfred sucks. They should have done more, Maz, but when they came to terms on the 60-game season and they set the protocols and they set the schedule and they set the whole thing in motion, it is set up, if you're just smart as a player or careful or responsible, that you'll get through the thing healthy and they'll complete the season. I mean, it's there. The protocols are there. I think the players just refuse to do it. Or, you know, too many players refuse to do it. And now here we are where we are. It's on them. And you had it right. They never wanted to play in the first place. Never want to play in the first place. Screw it. We're going to the club. If we get COVID, we get COVID. We'll be fine and we'll get paid. We didn't even want to play in the first place. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, they weren't invested. They really weren't. They half-assed it and it's showing.
Dennis and Whitman. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First, let me start by saying I'm not going to bury Halak for yesterday's debacle. I'm not going to do it. There's a couple of goals that I thought he definitely should have had. I mean, he's a professional goaltender after all, but that loss was not on him. I am so sick and tired of watching this first line go out there and produce an absolute goose egg. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Pick it up. It's the playoffs. I'm tired of watching this team. I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm not going to get a Red Sox season, okay? And baseball and hockey are the only two sports I give a rat's ass about. But enough with this team going out there and not trying and half-assing it and giving me that garbage I watched yesterday. I was ready to put my remote through the TV. You got to be kidding me. Pick it up. Yeah. Well, let's go.
It's good that you're that mad that early. I don't think that's wrong to be concerned, though. And, you know, you could take that first line thing the both ways. You know, like, you guys don't produce, you lose, so it's all on you. And when you don't produce, we kill you for it. But the other side of it is, it's hard to win with one line. You know, so yesterday, their best line, again, I thought was the Coyle line. And I thought Anders Bjork, I did see some jump from him and some plays from him where I sort of said, oh, now I know what these guys were talking about at practice. I thought Bjork looked good. I thought Coyle showed up. Again, didn't score, as tends to happen with him. But I think that when they were on the ice, they were okay. And so I thought the third line was their best line, and you got your goal from the fourth line. I barely noticed, other than a little shift or here or two there from Studnicka, like you said. I barely noticed the Krejci line, and I barely noticed Bergeron. But it's like, I don't know, do I blame Bergeron? Or do I say, can I get someone else doing something? I mean, that's where we were last year. That's where we've been the last couple of years with this Bruins team.
Yeah, I mean, it was demoralizing. And maybe some of it is my expectations were too high. Because I told you, I thought, you know, the seeding mattered. I was eager to see hockey again. The Bruins have a real chance at the Cup. And they just came out and lay a fart like that one. I mean, that was an absolute freaking fart is what that was. As you would say, a wet one in church. Like, it just to watch it was absolutely infuriating. And, you know, the guy that irritated me, I know you guys talked about Bergeron. I'm not telling you he played. Marchand irritated me yesterday. I barely noticed Marchand. I mean, there were a couple of times, you know, he kind of slashed a guy. Like, but in terms of the actual play, he did nothing. He did nothing. And that pissed me off.
617-779-0985. It's a reentry Monday. It's Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England on NBC Sports Boston. Are you concerned by the Bruins start? The Red Sox are beyond concerned, but the Major League Baseball season, just the epic lengths to which they botch this thing and how I think the season's already a fail, already a massive fail, and where they go from here. We will get to the Celtics next hour as well. All of it coming your way after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here. Your number again is 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.